We only have to do part of the chapter tonight because it's quite a long one and there's a bit of an extensive discourse later on in it as well. So let's pray and we'll see where we get on with it. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace revealed in your word. Lord, we can observe you, as it were, Lord, as we read and see you in action. And Lord, your word tells us that you are the same as you were then, Lord. Same in grace and love, same in compassion and wisdom. And so, Lord, we see you as we look through your word. I pray your Holy Spirit will help us to do that, Lord. Grant us light in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, here we are on chapter 5, sometime later. That's sometime later after chapter 4. Yes. John isn't being specific, of course. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus has gone from Jerusalem, because of the hassle, up to Galilee, remember? And he's spending quite a long time there, but he does a visit back to Jerusalem on this occasion. Yeah. So he went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Jews. There are various feasts that are on. There were specific feasts that the men had to go to, three feasts in the year, Passover being one of them, Pentecost was the other, the harvest one as well. Yeah, but okay, so it goes up there. Now, in Jerusalem, near the Sheep Gate, a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. They've actually dug these up now, you know. The archaeologists have found these. Quite spectacular things in their own right, in a way. But near the Sheep Gate, each pool had its, the city had walls around it, you know, and they had gates, various gates. And the Sheep Gate was where they brought the sheep in for sacrifice from the fields, yeah. So that's why it got called the Sheep Gate, yeah. The Jaffa Gate, not because they got oranges there, but because it led off to Jaffa, the port. Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah. All right. Okay, and it's called in Aramaic, it says here. It says Hebrew in the Greek, but they translated it in the NIV as Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic and Hebrew, and probably Greek as well, I guess, but the religious language of the day was Hebrew. Yeah, that's what was used in the synagogues and so on. The ordinary folks spoke Aramaic as well. And anyway, it's called Bethesda, or Bethzatha is another version of it. You see there's various other ones, Bethzatha, in some of the manuscripts. It's surrounded by five covered colonnades. Yeah? So, this pool has got... you really ought to look it up on the web. The reconstruction is quite spectacular. It's a big thing, yeah? But around the sides of the pool, they have these columns with the roof on. Yeah, covered colonnades, they call them, yes? And what are they for? Shelter. Yes. It rains in Jerusalem sometimes, you know. And if it gets hot, there's a bit of shade as well. So that's the idea. It's a shelter, area of shelter around the pool. Yeah. So that's they set the scene for you. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. Well, why did they do that?
Because of the pool, wasn't it?
Tells you later, but I think there's other reasons. I'm just thinking about it. Why should a lot of disabled people gather in one place?
Begging.
It's an ideal spot for people going by. You can collect. Yeah, that's one of the things. But also, there is obviously a tradition here. The water, at some occasions, it's not in every manuscript. There's some of these verses are missing. But the tradition was that the water bubbled for some reason. Some said it was an angel, or they said it might have been the underground spring, or whatever it was. But there was this sort of tradition that if you got in there, when it bubbled, you'd be healed. It's a bit like these pools, you know these spa pools.
Yeah.
Same idea. That's
it must have been happening because they wouldn't have still been there, would they?
But it only needs to happen once. Yeah. And everybody will think it's going to happen again, you know. That's the thing. That's the way it goes, isn't it, yeah? But anyway, in fact, in this miracle, it's got nothing to do with the pool. Mm. Yeah, but there we are. That's where the people were. Right, so... again, just to say, I'm not making light of it. The disabled, the poor, the blind and the lame, these are needy people, you know, and they'll try and get what help they can, I guess. Yeah? And when you're in that situation, you'll cling out to any straw just about, won't you? So, there they are, they're all gathered there. One was there who'd been an invalid for 38 years. How about that? That's a miserable existence, isn't it? 38 years and counting. Doesn't tell us how it happened or anything else like that, just says he's in a bit of a sorry way, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, well, hadn't Jesus seen him before? Obviously not. Doesn't look like it, does it? I mean, there's a lot of people around, a lot of needs and so on, but somehow Jesus spotted him, and Jesus saw him lying there, lying being the opposite word, poor man, eh? Yeah? And he learned that this had been his condition for a long time. Well, how did he learn that? I had to talk to him, asked him, you know, how long have you been like you are, and so on, you know. Jesus gets into conversation with people, so that's what he said, it's been a long time. So he asked him, do you want to get well? Now there's a question. Mm-hmm. Why does he ask that question?
Not everybody does.
Not everybody does. Mm. Yeah, do you know, this is a true story. Sad to say, in some ways. I once was at a place where there was a chap preaching, ministering to people, praying for them, praying for the sick, and praying for their healing, you know. And there was a chap I was with, he said, I don't know if I want to go and get prayed for, it'll upset me benefits.
A lot of people said that at one time.
Yeah. Healed. All that, that's one side. I don't think this man is thinking that. We'll look at why I think Jesus said that. But
and also, because it says here, because obviously he was an invalid, that he couldn't get in it. And he said that the sort of thing said that after the moving of the waters from time to time, it was said that the waters and the first one in would get healed or whatever.
And the first one is always not him.
Yeah, it's like he can't move quick enough.
Right. Well, that's it. People are desperate, but it does say there isn't a lot of compassion around, is there, you know? Mm. You know? This chap's been there 38 years, after all. Mm. Well, his condition's been like that for 38 years, anyway. Now, why did Jesus say, do you want to get well? Well, as I said, there may be something. The other thing is, like you said, did he want to change his ways? There's a challenge for a new style of life.
Yeah, he wouldn't be able to beg anymore.
Yes, right. I mean, there's a lovely example with blind Bartimaeus you see in John's Gospel, where blind Bartimaeus, when he's calling out to Jesus, have mercy on me, and they all tell him to be quiet, and he just carries on, and Jesus calls him. And what does blind Bartimaeus do? He throws away his cloak. That's his operating cover, in a sense, yeah? His business card, yeah? He chucks that away and goes to Jesus. He's basically saying, I'm finished with this game. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic, yeah? Well, the danger is, do you want change? Yes, please, but, you know, let me do it my way, Lord. So,
it kind of makes me think, just reading it, I've not read it, but it's the fact that sometimes you're there and you're wanting it, so why haven't you asked for it before?
Yeah.
You know, and it's got to be your time when Jesus touches you.
Yes.
And then that was his time.
Well, I can you guess why I don't think he'd asked before? Well, he had asked before, and he'd stopped asking, I think. That's what happens, isn't it? You get disappointed and you think, well, God doesn't want me being healed and I'll give up now.
Obviously, he was taken there every day.
Yes.
So he got
some friends, but they left him. They can't wait for the pool to stay or whatever it is, you know.
I was sharing with Vanessa, and she said that her kidneys were working 37%.
Yeah.
And I said,
moving it up a bit. Yeah.
And it'll go to 50%, and then it'll go higher, and it'll build your faith. And anyway, she disappeared, and I thought, why am I not doing this?
Well, we're good at giving advice to her.
Yeah, this is it. So I then turned around and told the staff I wanted to know what percentage my kidneys were working at.
Right, good, yes. That's a good start, isn't it, yeah? So there's the possibilities, all of those things, that you get used to where you're at, and change feels threats. But perhaps Jesus asks him, why do you want to get well? Because the thought had gone out of his head so long ago, he'd given up. And he's planting that seed back in his mind to start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm thinking it in a positive sense rather than just saying, you know. Yeah. So Jesus is beginning to stir some faith up in his heart, I guess. Yeah. Right, so, but he comes up with the usual excuses, of course. Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. So that's been happening so often, I guess he's given up. But, yeah, it's sad really. I mean, but like I say, you know, one of the things that marks out the Christian ministry down the centuries is that they've cared for the weak and the vulnerable and the broken. Well, seems to be around, that's the sad thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Pastor, are these souls drinking points? Oh, supplies for the
supplies for the water for the temple, really. It was a big pool. It had a spring supplying it. That's where I think the bubbling came from. Anyway, so he offers this excuse. No one's there to help me. Well, there is someone there to help him, and he doesn't need the pool. So Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. How about that? Well, that's amazing. Because at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. What a difference, eh? And again, this is amazing thing of Jesus, you know. He doesn't just say it. He does it. You know, his words carry power. When he says something, it's going to happen. Because he's God. Yeah? Creator. Created. Yeah? So, when he says to the man that's not walked for 38 years, pick up your mat and walk. That's astounding. Because there are many miracles all in one go there. He's not just put strength back into his legs. He's rewired his brain to get him walking again. You know? And all of that has just happened instantaneously. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Usual miracles by Jesus are pretty quick, I can guess. Some of the things, I mean, there are things in our lives that God does as a process. You know that, doesn't he? Patience being one of them. Yeah, but there are things that God can do remarkably quickly, and it's lovely when he does that. And this is one example of that. Yeah, so.
Well, God, I mean, he knew he was going to get up because he was God. Yes. Part of it there and said, get up and walk. And then you just said, that's a miracle.
So yes. If you'd have said it.
Well, yeah.
Yes. But this is the challenge for us as believers.
It's
a big challenge for us. And we see in Acts of the Apostles, the apostles do what Jesus did, right, in imitation of him, but it's not just they're doing it because that's how Jesus did it. There was a lame man in the temple when Peter and John were going by, and he was begging, right, and we're told that the man looked at them and said, you know, have you got any money? And Peter says, I haven't got any money, but what I've got, I'll give you. Right? And he says, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he grabbed him and pulled him up, and the chap starts jumping around, of course. Mm. Yeah. Now, the remarkable thing is, I don't think Peter did that off of his own bat. I suspect that in his spirit, he knew this was the Lord, time to act. Yeah. You know, you have that sense of, you know, God's at work.
Yeah.
He had faith, he knew Jesus could do it, but the link of Jesus is, now's the time.
The link of Jesus.
Yeah, that's how I understand it anyway.
Yeah.
But Jesus is here on this one. No
there,
question. Yeah, no question.
All the healing is through him anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
They didn't know that at the time, Arthur. We know it now. Could
yes.
We read and what it
we can see it yes, now. Yeah.
Time,
sorry, go on.
Do you think that man actually knew it was Jesus, though? I don't think he did they?
No, but I suspect that when Jesus spoke, he heard something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When Jesus speaks authority, people recognise it.
Yeah.
I mean, the soldiers that came to arrest him, when he said, I am, they all fall over. Yes, even pagans recognise authority. Yeah.
The man was quite respectful, wasn't he?
Sir.
Jesus?
Yes. Yeah. So, pick up your mat and walk. So, that's exactly what he does. Mm. Pick up his mat and walk. Wonderful.
Mm.
Won't you say that's wonderful?
Mm.
Yeah. Right, there's a problem. There's a problem.
It was
in
on
the
Sunday.
Next verse.
Right. It was on a Sabbath.
The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Now then, how about that?
Mm-hmm.
Did Jesus know it was a Sabbath? Of course he did.
Yes.
Was he worried it was a Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
No. Because he knew what he was doing was right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point, yeah? Okay, so he done this on the Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. That's brilliant, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is This is the crunch problem that Jesus had with the authorities. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Did the law forbid you to carry your mat?
No.
The Jewish law did, but the Bible law didn't. That's the point. What they'd read in the Bible was, you're not to carry burdens on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath, yeah? You're not to carry burdens. That means do business, that type of stuff, yeah? Loads, carts and stuff like that. Work, yes? And so, for the best of reasons to be charitable, the best of reasons, in order to make sure that you didn't break the law, they added extras just to make sure it kept you away from the edge. Yeah?
My mother-in-law wasn't even allowed to knit.
Yeah, right, okay. That's the idea, you see. Yeah. You don't do anything so that it means you won't do something that breaks the law. Yeah. So, basically, Jesus runs into this time and time again with the authorities. What they've done is they've added, and he says this, the teachings of men to the word of God. And the effect of it was it put burdens on people's shoulders that they were never meant to carry. Yeah. So, they say it's against the law. Their tradition is what they mean. It's against their tradition to carry a mat on the Sabbath day. Right.
But how would he get there if he didn't carry it?
They brought him before Sabbath. Well, no, they can't have brought him at night time, could they? They must have carried him, mustn't they? Yeah.
Of course they must.
Yeah. Carrying somebody may not count as a burden. Yeah, honestly, you could get. I mean, I'm not being anti-Jewish in any sense, but the hair splitting that could go on is really quite something.
Well, it's just because the Sabbath starts at evening, hour,
yes.
Friday.
Yeah, so they didn't drop him at night, did they?
Until Saturday, yeah. Time. So how did he get that?
Yes, good question. Well, somebody brought him.
His mat, didn't they?
Right. Anyway, this carrying the mat definitely upset them. Yes. Right. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. How about that? What a brilliant answer. Yeah. Why are you carrying your mat? Because Jesus, well, this guy told me so. And he made me walk. Yeah. Right? If he can do that, he's got every right to tell me what to do. Right?
Yes.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's no answer to it. Right, so they're rather miffed about that, but do you think he dropped his mat after that?
No.
I don't think he did. I don't think he did. No. So, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow? Now that phrase fellow there, who is this fellow, is an insult, you know. They're not talking about who this Jesus is. They dismissed him as a troublemaker and a problem person already. Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Right, well, he did it very quietly, didn't he? Nobody else seemed to have spotted that, yeah? So he pulls off into the background. Yeah? Fancy Jesus hiding in a crowd. It's almost impossible, I'd have thought, but he managed. Right, so they didn't know who it was. Yeah? Later, and again, it doesn't say how long later, was it? Hours? Minutes? Days? Don't know. But later, Jesus found him at the temple. Why was he at the temple now?
Praising God.
I think he's going to praise the Lord now. He's not collecting, he's giving. Yeah, bit different, eh? He was at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Right? Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Right? Now then, here's a puzzle of a phrase. What does he mean by that? Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. Now, there are some commentators that are very hard on this chap. But see, what are you going to suggest?
He was still begging.
He was still begging.
But he might have been known as a beggar, wouldn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think he'd probably been in a lifestyle of lying and that caught up with him, basically.
Is it just a warning?
It is a warning, yeah, it's a warning.
It's a
yeah.
warning.
Yeah. Let me offer you this. I think the best explanation, I mean, well, I'll give you the worst one to start with. Basically, he'd done something 38 years beforehand that got him into big time trouble, right? And so Jesus is saying, don't do that again or you'll be in a worse mess, right? That's one way of interpreting it. I don't think that's true because Jesus never looked at the causes of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Remember, we're coming to chapter 8 where there's the man who's born blind and the disciples say, whose fault was it? Jesus says, we're not into faults. Right? We're here to sort him out. Yeah? And so Jesus, I don't think he's digging up his past. Right? So that's sorted that one out. So to my mind, what Jesus is saying is, stop sinning. You know, your relationship with God isn't right, is what he's getting at. So he's fixed his body, but his soul needs a bit of working on. Yeah?
I reckon he was kind of wheeling and dealing in the temple.
Might have been. Right? So he's fixed the body, and now he's saying, he's stop sinning. You know, there's things have got to change in your life. Because if they don't, you may go out to hell with a good body.
Because a lot of healing ministries, people say after these evangelists have gone, oh, well, it didn't work because I'm ill again. Right. And they've gone back to the same lifestyle.
Same old ways, yeah, well, there you are, yeah.
You know.
I don't think he went back to his life. Well, Martin doesn't go back to his old lifestyle, yeah. Yeah.
He needs an income.
And he goes with what he knows, maybe, yes. Mm. So Jesus says, yeah, you've got to stop. There's got to be a change in your life. That's a gospel message that people don't preach, isn't it? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Come to Jesus and you carry on as you like, makes no difference, and you go to heaven. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the message.
We are a new creation.
Yes. So you can't go on. Stop sinning, change your ways. You've got to be a different person because that's what God wants.
But the thing is, he allows us to change our ways, doesn't he? So
well, he gives us the choice.
If we trust him, he will open up the doors that we need.
Yeah. So, that's how I understand it. Jesus is saying to this man, look, your body's been fixed. You need to get right with God. Otherwise, the future is not going to be good. And the future means eternal, I think, rather than just he's going to have another physical problem. Yeah. So, that's my understanding of it from what I've read around, yeah? Okay, so, the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. How about that? What's he doing? You think he's betraying Jesus?
No, I would say...
He doesn't think he is.
No, he was just delighted.
He's witnessing.
Yeah.
He's telling them, I'll tell you who made me well and who told me to pick up my mat. His name's Jesus. He's the miracle worker. I don't think he was betraying the Lord. Yeah. The authorities were just wanting excuses to get to Jesus, of course, but he's they've got no excuse.
Well, they Jesus. Asked him who it was.
Yeah. And he tells them.
And now he's telling them.
Yeah.
Initially he didn't know, did he?
No, he didn't know.
No,
he knows now.
But they wanted to know so that they could...
They could create problems for Jesus. I don't think he thought of that, to be honest. I think he's just so blessed by meeting... And remember, there's a conversation here. It doesn't tell us. Jesus says, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
My name's Jesus. I'm God's son. I'm the Messiah. It doesn't say anything of that, but that guy found that out.
I think that was his born-again experience, wasn't it?
In the temple.
He found that out when he got with Jesus in the temple... And he's healed his soul. His body's been fixed, hours, days, whatever it was before. He's got a meeting with the Lord now that's changed him on the inside. And he's full of it. So he goes to the authorities, hey, it's Jesus! And of course, they're really glad to know that, aren't they? Of course. Yeah. But Jesus is the thing about this is Jesus is confronting their views of the Word of God. They've got it wrong. Yeah. So, let's just finish it with this last little bit. Yes. So, because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jews persecuted him. Yeah, they really got upset about this. Because he was undermining all their traditions, everything that they stood for. They thought if Jesus knocked one bit out, the whole lot was going. What Jesus was doing, he was getting the cross off. But they couldn't see that. Yeah. So, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working. So Jesus says, my Father, well that's a bit of a sticks in their throat. Who's he talking about?
God
the Father. My Father is always at work. And what does he mean by that? God is always at work. He rested on the Sabbath day from creation. Yeah? God rested on the Sabbath day from creation. But God's still working at keeping it going. He's sustaining, he's blessing, he's helping and protecting. Father's at work. Right? So Jesus says, just as Father's at work to this very day, I too am working. Just carrying on as Father does. Yeah? And for this reason, the Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Because he's really upset them now. And the answer is, not only was he breaking the Sabbath, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath, They said he was breaking the Sabbath. Jesus did not break the law, otherwise he couldn't save you. Yeah? He fulfilled the law in every respect. He did not break it. He broke their rules, which is what upset them. Yeah? They said he was breaking the Sabbath. He was even calling God his own Father. Well, if it's true.
Because he was the Messiah.
Yes. And the point being is, now it's really interesting, if Jesus calls God his Father, he's making himself equal with God. Mm-hmm. Get that? That's really important. Yeah, yeah. He's claiming to have the same calling, the same powers, the same function as God. Right. This is what John's wanting you to get. Remember, he's writing to people to confirm their faith. This is what it's about. Jesus is claiming to be God. We'll come later on in John's Gospel where Jesus says, the Father is greater than I. The Jehovah's Witnesses use that, love that one, yes. We'll come to us what he means by that. But Jesus here makes it absolutely plain, right? He is claiming to be God's Son, and to them that is blasphemy. Yeah. He's going to get crucified for that one. But John is making it perfectly clear, he is. And the proof of it is, he's healing on the Sabbath because he's doing what Father does.
It's not working, is it?
It's not working. No, he didn't carry any loads, he didn't go around selling anything or anything like that. Yeah. And Jesus criticizes them for their hypocrisy, and you know what, that's all it is, for their hypocrisy. And he says, supposing you've got, you see it later on in the Gospel, supposing you've got a donkey or an animal that falls into a well or a ditch on the Sabbath, you don't think, well, I'll wait till tomorrow to fish it out. Mm-hmm. You do it then. What do we call those? Works of mercy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Christians, we have to do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, there are the situations where we normally not do what we want to, what we normally do, mm-hmm. right? But something crops up and you feel you've got to do it as a work of mercy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're not bound by rules, brothers and sisters. We're bound by love. Right? And the love will dictate that we want to love God and please him, so we rest. But when there's an emergency that the Lord is allowed to occur, then we respond in love to that situation to help.
Well, they change it anyway, because if they're at the synagogue and somebody's reading the Torah,
yeah.
then he's working.
Yeah.
All the security guards.
Yes. Well, Jesus said that, all the priests do.
Yeah, yeah.
All the priests do all the time. They break the Sabbath, but they're all right.
Jesus spoke on the Sabbath. Did they miss that?
Well, they're very selective. It can be very anti-Semitic, this, how they knock the Jews for all their little nitpicking and so on. And they were, right? But we're as good at it, aren't we? We know we can set up our little knitting. I remember, and this is true, I mean, there used to be what we call Sabbatarianism, you know, where as Christians, or the Christian culture was, you didn't do anything on the Sabbath. And I remember a dear friend of ours at Soham, she said that her dad used to have the radio switched off on a Sunday, but he'd turn it on for the news, right? And then when the news had finished, he'd turn it off again. No, torture is bad, really. Yeah. Let me just ask you one more little bit, though, of course. This is about the Sabbath, yeah? And the New Testament doesn't talk much about Sabbath keeping as far as believers are concerned. It's not interesting. I believe there's a principle there, and they moved it not from Saturday, because Saturday's the Sabbath, you knew that, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah? They moved it to Sunday, that's the Lord's Day. But in the New Testament, in the early church, a large proportion of the believers were slaves. Mm-hmm. And they weren't allowed days off, you know? Not in pagan culture, right? So they snatched what rest and blessing they could get. And I mean, poor old Eutychus, you know, you read in Acts, when he fell asleep.
Yeah.
That's because he'd been working all day, I guess. And then at night, Paul's talking on and on, and poor old Eutychus is completely whacked. He nods off, drops off as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, slaves. I mean, the lovely thing is that as culture became more and more affected by Christian teaching, people started realizing that people did need a rest. They were applying the Hebrew teaching to culture. Yeah. We're losing that again, of course.
But when we did that as a nation,
Yeah. You do it God's way, it works. That's how it is, isn't it? Okay, well, we'll have to stop there. We've covered a few grounds there, but good man. I believe he became a great witness for Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, Lord, thank you for doing this miracle for this man, God. He forgot all about the pool, though, because he met the one who made the pool and everything else that's in it, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the one that can speak life and health and healing into people's circumstances. After so many years, perhaps of despair, of giving up, of hoping against hope, that somehow when you came along, it did. And we pray, Lord, that you will make us, as we've been talking, Lord, a blessing to those. Lord, we're not the healers. It's you. But use us, Lord. Use us, as you call us, to faithfully trust you to bring blessing on others. So we pray, gracious Father, you will be honoured in our lives, even as you are in this man. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord. You don't just come to heal bodies, but it's our souls that ultimately are going to face the Maker, Lord. And so we thank you, Lord, you change this man's ways of seeing and thinking as well. Lord, thank you for all your grace, and we bless you, gracious Jesus, that you came to lift the burdens, not to put them on us. And we thank you, Lord,